Hi, this is Rob from the Guys Games and Beer Radio Hour. Many of the topics covered on this show are of an adult nature. In fact, most of them are just downright offensive. Please, don't let your small children listen. It will scar them for life. Visit us at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Want to know what the guys are up to this very minute? Friend us at www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. Live from Boston, it's Guys, Games, and Beer!
Yeah!
Yay!
Ish.
So tell me, Tom, what kind of shit's on your mind?
Oh, the shit that is on my mind is absolutely amazing. So, we're in Boston at... Where are we at, Rob?
We're at the Boston Festival of Indie Games, which has basically dissolved around us.
It certainly has.
It's after hours now.
So we are doing a show after hours here. We have commandeered the press room. It is now the G2B press room. So
that labeled as such.
It's currently labeled as such. So we've taken that over. So we're going to start with, we're going to do today in chronological order. So we're going to talk about the Boston Festival of Independent Games. We're going to do it in chronological order. So we're going to start from very first thing this morning, getting here to Boston Festival of Independent Games. All right. Google Maps, or I'm sorry, Google Navigation.
Why did you use Google Navigation?
What we thought it would be a good way to get here. Okay, so we thought it'd be a good way to get here, and generally it works. But that being said, not until you get into Boston. There is no navigating around Boston. I don't care how you do it. There is no...
Hey, ours led us right there. I'm just saying.
You know, I was not sold. I thought, well, I got my phone, I can use Google Navigation, I'm really happy, until I actually seen an actual GPS Garmin in action, and I gotta tell you, it was spot on. It was, even in the complex, multi-layered street sections, it was spot on.
Yeah, I mean, we would make mistakes with it, but it was obviously right most of the time. Whereas, yeah, when I use Google, it's horrible. Why are we talking about Google on
okay,
a game show?
But only because we're doing this chronological. So, but we did finally get here this morning. Now, in case you've never been on a road trip, look, when you're packing as many people into a hotel room as we were, there is kind of a simple rule about that. And the rule is, Ben, what's the rule?
It's the rule I made up. You don't
correct.
Shit where you sleep, so you go to the lobby when you have to dump.
Okay. But here was my problem. I am too lazy to walk all the way down to the lobby last night to dump. So I got to dump really bad. So, no, I'm going to wait. All right? I'll wait in the morning. And then morning comes around, and again, it's like, oh, no, I am not in the hotel room. Not a chance, man. Not this morning. We're running a little bit behind, so I'm getting everybody ready.
Bad. You beat yourself.
Ben?
Did you poop yourself?
Oh, no. God. Oh, oh, look who's talking. Wait. Ben, how did I find you this morning?
I was...
Half naked.
Half naked in my car.
Passed out in your car.
Yep, because, like you said, we were packing a bunch of people in our rooms.
Exactly.
And Sue kept telling me, don't sleep in my car. Well, she said don't enough times for me to just go, yeah.
I'm going to do it anyway.
I'm going to sleep in my car.
All right.
So, maybe I wasn't paying attention, I just couldn't hear. But why didn't you say that this was the shittiest podcast on the internet for the VLA?
I thought it was kind of self-evident, but yeah.
So, oh, we're getting back to the chronological order. So, I figured I'll just wait till we get here. Oh my god, the best dump I've ever taken. I mean, I was just like...
Glorious.
It was a glorious dump. Thank you. That is the exact word to describe this morning's dump. So that's how I started my day at the Boston Festival.
You know, that would make a great game, like some kind of like decathlon. You know, how you wiggle the joystick or press the buttons really fast.
To get the best dump?
Yeah, you know, we're just trying to get
it
all
off. No, wait a minute. If it's going to be like one of these wiggle the joysticks, does that kind of keep it in one single piece?
Yes, that's the plan.
So if you don't wiggle it,
then it gets cut off and you get a lower score.
So your cheeks squeeze together if you can't wiggle it fast enough.
This is the G2B game we were talking about. I mean,
this is far better than the beer pong
we've been
trying to discuss. Yeah. So
we can stylize it like the Japanese would, just so you don't really know what it is.
Nice. No.
And then people after a few minutes of play go,
Hey, wait a minute.
No, you gotta animate the poo. So it's like, Mr. Pooh.
Put some googly eyes on it.
Oh, no! At the end, have like googly eyes and it gets happy. Exactly. Or frowns if you did really poorly.
Right.
So. How did you let me breathe?
What happens if you have the runs, though? Is that bonus points or is it negative points?
Negative points.
Okay.
Look, that can be a bonus round,
though. That means you held it too long.
Thank you. Exactly. See, well where done. Exactly.
It's all about timing, people.
Beer show. You're not holding it too long. I just say that then get that point of be happy quantity as far as.
Okay.
And they said we couldn't get an hour out of this.
Okay. You could.
I'm pooping?
No, it's not on this podcast.
I pooped for over an hour.
You could do a whole game for the
okay, but no, but that being said, wait a minute. Okay, so one thing might be length, the other might be quantity. So you could maybe score it on both.
What about quality? The quality of poops. I go for quality poops, not quantity.
Then you get all into what you're eating and you know,
I agree. That's
for the round two game.
All right, now that I've done my little poop rant, we can get actually to the
Can I do my poop rant?
Yeah, do a poop rant.
All right, I don't know what is with the kids at MIT, but you people need to learn to flush the freaking toilet. 3 out of the 5 stalls had black cobras poking the hell out of them.
Hey, but you figure they're at MIT. They figure they flush automatically.
No, they had little tails that shook and crap. It was just crazy.
You do not get bonus points.
There's a python in there.
Started in it.
So one more last time. This is Guys Games. We're live at the Boston Festival of Independent Games, and we're talking about taking a shit in a toilet.
We're at MIT, and I just want to say, I mean, my God, you pay a lot to go to the school. You think you could teach your kids to flush? That's all I'm saying.
on the subject.
No, they should pay to take a course on it.
Flushing for them.
Maybe they should have a class, perhaps. Mayhap.
Maybe they should design a better toilet.
I don't think it is the toilet. This is plain. I didn't flush.
It's user problems.
It's a user error. They're not smart enough to flush. That's a user problem.
That is a user problem.
Maybe they shouldn't be at MIT. That's all I'm saying.
All right. So, what's the first topic tonight, Rob?
It's our only topic. We're going to be talking about our favorite, the things that we saw at the beefcake, and I'm gonna try and keep this as kind of an open thing.
The other thing
we saw a lot of this that
we saw a lot of this that and the other thing, and I don't want to like do too much, but and steal too much. So I'm gonna just kind of pass it around a bit, and I think we'll all talk about the things that we bring up, and then if you come up with something else to bring up, I probably should have said this in the planning stage. But you know, we had a lot of interviews today, folks, so we're a little low effort tonight.
Well, no, all those interview stuff, we're going to post those.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to hear all the interviews, yeah, but the actual podcast is a little low effort. However, I think there's interesting stuff to talk about here. I think there's stuff that we didn't necessarily cover in the interviews, or if you're not listening to all the interviews, this is a good place to go to just kind of get an idea of everything we saw. So I want to talk about there's two distinct sections to beefing. There's a section for the board gamers, and there is a section for video gamers, and we cover both pretty well.
Because they can't live in peace. Like, they get together and it's like war.
That's right.
They couldn't figure out which war system to use. A video game system or a card game, right? You know.
Exactly. And I kind of want to start with this game, Masquerade. I really want to... Number one, it's an interesting thing. I really like the artwork, and I like the box a lot. We haven't played it yet. It's supposed to be like Crazy Eights meets Death, basically.
Old Maid.
Death. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. I don't know why I keep saying Crazy Eights. Thank you for correcting.
Except there's no Old Maid. I think in the description he had that, because we do have this will be one of the interviews, but I think his description of, you know, it's a big swanky party at the castle, and all the nobles are there, and someone has decided to kill the king.
Right.
And so all the effort is to try to kill the king. And there you go.
Painfully.
Yeah. So.
Painfully.
Yeah, so that's kind of the twisted plot of it.
But the thing I really like about what he did with this game is
It is amazingly cost effective. $10 buys you the deck. I mean, the full game. And I just think, and it's, you know, decent quality. The cards, you know, the cards are a little bit, they're not like, you know, the uber quality cards, but they're decent, and the artwork's really excellent on them. So it's well worth it just to look at the artwork. They're really quite nice. Man, pass it around.
You know, I forgot to ask the guy, were you gonna get into the second part of what he did?
Oh, the book?
Yeah.
I wasn't gonna get in. We can talk about the book, but I really just wanted to. I wish more developers would get their games to a price where a lot of people just want to try it. Because I gotta tell you, I saw copies of Masquerade everywhere today.
Yeah.
So if you right price a game, if you price a game inexpensively and it looks really neat like this one does, I think there is definitely a market for affordable card games. And that's my rant. I mean, does anybody? I know you wanted to talk about the book. Did you want to say anything about the book?
Well, I was just going to mention that to support his game, he wrote a novel to sort of flush out all the characters in the card game. So I just thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah.
I asked him how much the novel was, though. I almost thought about picking that up. But
I think it's
given his price structure, probably $5.
Right?
Yeah, serious.
he might be charging too little for it. He might want to bump it up $5-$10. Because even at $20, I would have thought it was a steal.
The card game? I agree.
Yeah. So
I think he
at basically $10, he's just giving it away because he loves it. And there's a lot of developers that do it because they like it. But this guy, it was just so obvious. He loved his game. So we'll put up another link, of course, from this podcast running about it, and we'll put it at the end of the description.
And
so,
for $10, people, order the damn game.
So the
$10 for a decent game.
Ryan,
it's not that cheap.
Wait,
what?
Sorry,
what's that? I missed
that. I mean, that's the price of a
yeah, right.
That's it. That's the price of a Steam game, for Christ's sake, and you're getting a physical item. That's actually pretty nice. But anyway, look at the show description. We'll have it at the bottom of the show description. So, and in fact, everybody that we're talking about will probably have it in the show description. But I really, you know, I hope you guys check it out and support somebody who's really trying to right price his game. Really working hard.
Yep.
Is there anything else?
Ben, you got something?
What
was your favorite thing today? Go ahead, say it, darling. You want to say it, say it.
You skipped me.
Oh, I did.
Darlene.
Darlene, what was your favorite part of the day?
Pong Zombie.
Nice.
It was
Pongy Zong. Yeah, sorry.
Pongy Zong.
It's only 99 cents. And
ooh,
boy,
it
like
good.
Because
it
looked good.
Yeah.
Do you want to describe it?
Oh, it's just zombies that get sawed. You know, it's old-time ping pong with a twist.
Ping pong.
It was classic pong game.
Yeah, sorry.
But you control both sides. That's kind of the interesting thing about it. That's the touch part.
Or you
could,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
there was also a choice, I think, to use a single panel.
Yes, there was. I actually downloaded the demo and tried it out, too.
Awesome.
What, you guys couldn't buy the game? It's 99 cents. Really?
I bought the game. We're buying when we get all this.
I don't have a phone.
Okay, all
right. It's only on Android right now. So,
all
right. Yeah, and it's only on Android right now, so I gotta wait till I get to my Android device before
I
buy it. I'll buy it.
But good call, because you're right.
Yeah, that is a game I would play. There's not a lot I play other than my Black Ops, but I thought that would be pretty much the thing that I like.
That one's by Karn 4 Games.
Right. It is available on the Play Store.
Yep, and it will soon be available for the iPad and iPod as well. And their site is www.carn4.com. And they were really nice guys. There's an interview going up about them. There's also an interview, of course, about the game that I mentioned, Masquerade, as well. So they're well worth listening to. They were both really good interviews.
Yeah, they were. Good guys.
What did you see today, Ben?
Well, I saw a lot of the Hotel Pillow.
Don't forget about the cement.
Oh, yeah, saw some cement, too. A couple of times.
What happened to your shoes? I heard you were barefoot for a while.
He wasn't barefoot. No, he wasn't barefoot. He stole Mike's shoes.
I hate to announce this, but yes, you probably are pregnant.
No,
he stripped in his car last night and passed out and get...
the shoes have been located.
He found the shoes. Good.
Hey!
Hotel.
No, these are my shoes.
Oh, wait.
They're at the hotel under Travis's bed. which I don't remember.
Wow. And what are they doing under Travis's bed?
Dun, dun, dun!
I was told that I harassed the whole lot last night.
Brian probably deserved it. Yeah. I'm just saying right now.
Brian can take it. He's a big boy.
Well, I probably deserved it.
I know. You probably know that.
To the shock of everyone,
yeah, I do.
I did play a game today.
I saw.
Yeah. I played Ice Cubris.
Explain that one. It's brilliant.
It's an ice stacking game. So you take a bowl of ice and you go in a circle and put one piece down, and then there's the guy made it, developed it, because he hated stacking games, because like in Jenga, you know, whoever knocks it over, everybody hates that person because you suck at this game. Well, what he's doing is you start from a common bowl stack, and then whatever falls off, you put in your own personal bowl. Once everything's out of the common bowl, then it turns into a elimination. Mm-hmm. So whoever has the most ice starts until they get down to level with somebody else. And then if you knock someone off, then you're out.
Okay, my question to you, because I watched you playing it. So the ice is melting all this time. You're doing this game.
Yep.
So how do they handle that part of the game?
With lots of bags of ice.
Oh, so you just get new ice.
Yeah, I know, and you know, other players weren't like looking for small ice, so I found this little sliver and just kind of dropped it in my flag and just like, that's my turn.
But it is a piece of ice. Yeah. I mean, and then they don't say how big it has to be.
Yeah, and they're like, well, what's over there? Like, why'd you grab that? And I'm like, because either it's going to melt now or it's going to melt later.
Right.
And when it's on the thing, it's just like, yeah. So, grab his card.
We should try to get them maybe for a future interview.
Yeah.
Because that was a very cool, clever idea.
The rules for that and they're just free to download on.
Stone has to have on the show. He's gonna have a Kickstarter. Good.
And also, he brought his own refrigerator to store ice.
Oh, you're kidding?
Yes, I saw him take it down to his car.
So he had a little mini freezer fridge.
Yeah, he was at the elevator with a fridge and everything. Like, really?
He was selling the official can. So
good. Was he actually selling a can?
That's what he said.
He said he was selling the official can. I'd probably have
been
telling him
cheap, but that's what he was saying. Nice. He said, yeah, you can download it free, or you can buy the kit for me. You can get the can.
I like that.
Very cool. Very cool. So, yeah. All right. So I want to talk about. Okay, everything was very cool today. We saw a lot of amazing stuff today. So really, I want to go back and talk a little bit about what the Boston Festival of Independent Games is. Because for those of you who haven't heard of this is its second year. Their first year, they got like 2,000 people to show up for this. Second year, they were expecting up 5,000 this year.
Actually, I heard they got 7,500.
Today? Yes. Holy crap. Second year, 7,500. Now, there's a couple reasons for that. Let me explain why. First of all, they don't charge anything for any of the exhibitors here. They have a board who you submit your game to, whether it's digital or board, and then you're picked out of a pool of people who submit to come and show their games. They look for games that play well, something unique, something cool. Everybody gets the same amount of space. You all get the same amount of space to go for, no charge. So that's
socialists.
Really, yeah, I know, damn socialists, but that's an amazingly cool thing right there. So, and it was the same thing for the digital games, and then it's free to get in. You basically show up, they give you a really, really nice, well-printed booklet with all the events, lanyards, everything. It doesn't cost anything to come here. You just go online, you fill it out, and they take care of you. This is what gaming is about. They're doing this for the love of the game. Everybody here is doing it for the love of the game. Everybody's a volunteer, everything's being done free. It is all about the games here. Getting board games out, getting digital games out, letting people really experience this stuff. You know, this is what you really want in gaming, you know? And we found a lot of cool games here today because of it. Now, again, yes, they did filter out, you know, really crappy stuff that really isn't whatever. But we met a lot of cool Kickstarters. We met a lot of cool people who are...
So the Drinker Pro was here.
So I know.
Oh, my God.
Which I'm amazed it was here. That was...
That's how, I mean, their art style is, I love their art style.
And that may be why they let them in. Whatever their reasoning was, it all adds to the ambience of this whole thing. You know, again, cool games, cool people, nice to see people who just love gaming that much to do all this. And, you know, I cannot thank the Boston Festival of Independence Games enough for letting us come out and do this. I mean, for us to come out and do the podcast, drag people aside. Everybody who stopped by and did interviews with us today, that was really cool of all of them to take the time. These guys were working their asses off today. I mean, literally, a lot of these guys were, you know, they drove wherever they're from, got here, had to set up, manning the booth, which is not easy work to do. I mean, we've all had to do this kind of stuff. Yeah.
They drove all the way from Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, that too. But it's a lot of work to do this kind of stuff, and we know what it takes to do this. And, you know, it's again, big nod to everybody who's doing all of this, because this is for the love of the game. This is why you do this. Cool to see.
Yeah.
So that's
wholeheartedly agree
that
we had
a thing.
And we did have just such a great time.
And again, I want to thank everybody from who works on the Boston Festival of Independent Games. We will email them with all sorts of, we love you, and, you know, we are entirely in your debt, and we will bury your children.
Send them some stickers.
Apparently we're supposed to write on the yellow paper right there.
And we'll write on the yellow paper and the whole nine yards. So long, beef. Yeah, somebody has already said thank you for all. And, wait. And thanks for, wait a minute. Now, this is a good one.
Thanks for all the fish. I didn't take a picture of that.
You already did? Good. That's freaking awesome.
I thought that was us.
No, we didn't do that. Somebody else did. See you next year, ESH, whoever ESH is.
Some other press group.
So, yeah, some other.
Who do they think they are?
Yeah, speaking of
stick.
We got
our local artist on this.
So, yeah, exactly. We got the better artist with us, so we got this covered. But again.
And all he does is draw dicks.
So many dicks.
So little time.
So that's my rant. I mean, it's really, again, cannot tell them how much I appreciate this. We will make sure to let that know. Our Alicia, our press agent, was really very kind and you know, kept us in the loop and gave us all sorts of information, put up with us requesting extra press passes at the last minute. She was really quite good. So, my rant, I'm done.
Patrick.
There are a couple games out there I really enjoyed watching people play because they were all having fun. The one game that, since Brian's not here, I'm going to bring it up, Tiny Brains.
Darn it.
Huh?
There's some fighting about that going on.
Yeah.
There's some anger. We had some Brian anger going on there.
Did he rage quit?
No.
No, he didn't rage quit, but he did rage.
He's 20.
That was hilarious.
That game was a wonderful game for four friends to sit down and just shoot debris and try to do obstacles that you have to think about. And so it's not a good drinking game, but it's a good...
Every game is a good drinking game. Especially
Z-Pocalypse.
Which is another game, Z-Pocalypse, which I bought. And we're going to play at a game night soon.
Yep.
And the last game I want to bring up is the Nike. Is that the...
Oh, Nico?
Nico.
Nika. It's not a wafer.
Yeah, Nika, which was a basic strategy game. Be one versus one or two versus two. And it's an old Spartan War game. So
that also coming out on iPad?
Yeah, it's coming out on iPad.
We just interviewed him, too.
Yeah. He'll all be on the interview segment of the website, too. So
awesome. You guys got anything you wanted to...
No, they saw it in Boston.
They actually saw it in Boston.
No, they actually did. We did encounter this interesting... iPad, well, I believe I've imagined it's only the iPad, and I imagine it would scale down well to a smaller screen. But it's this sort of like, it kind of, Chris kept comparing it to Plants vs. Zombies. I mean, basically, it's like you set these things up, and you're trying to destroy these things that your opponent sits. And it's like, it's a head-to-head two-player strategy game where like Hot Seat, where you pass it back and forth. And, I mean, it's difficult to describe in words, but... I mean, it was remarkably engaging. I mean, we were there for like 15 minutes, like playing
the
entire round
game
with this. And Star Liquor by Autonomy.
Oh, that's nice.
Their literature.
Oh man, I gotta write that one down. I feel bad now. I can't believe I missed them.
Yeah, no, same here.
I'm feeling pretty bad about missing Star Liquor. Is it lick?
Yes.
Or is it liquor?
As in. To lick.
Okay, not Star Booze.
I was doing Star Booze.
I know, I was thinking it might be Star Liquor. Oh, that's pretty freaking cool. Hey, that's a good one. I can't believe we missed this, totally.
It was a pretty packed one.
Where
like,
was it?
Every time. It was in the, in front of the bleachers. Like, it was on that side.
Oh.
Dang.
Yeah.
Completely missed it.
It was a player versus player, whereas one player has a town and you're trying to defend your town and attack an opposite town. So you get credits in order to buy things that do firing, you have things that do diverting of firing, you got, you know, defenses and different choices of things where in each turn one player would have an offensive move and then a defensive move, and then you switch over the iPad to the other player to where they'd have a defense and then they'd have the offense. So you're going back and forth, you have two plays in it, so you're not sure which is gonna which if you block with one and then you fire with another, and the whole thing is to save your city from being destroyed by the evil bunny.
By the licking bunnies.
The licky bunny.
Licky bunny. Hmm.
I've had a lick bunny.
It was engaging.
Charlene's giving you a dirty look.
Oh, no, no.
Nothing new.
Also, for some reason, we left the thing on the table the whole time while we were playing, and for whatever reason, like, everybody else, the other people are playing, you know, they were holding the device, like, for whatever reason, we were just standing over this table.
Sliding it.
Yes.
And it was hard to chase across the velvet.
Also, they had little, like, shiny, like, little star cutouts all over the table. I ended up with several on my hand.
Oh.
I can't believe I missed that. It's got shiny stuff
that
you would think would have drawn me easily. Or at least Larry over there.
We walked right past that.
They had a small TV at their booth, too. Like, it wasn't as big as some of the other exhibitors.
Yeah, 40 inches.
Size does matter at a show, sorry. If you're showing it, it better be big.
I gotta say, that's probably true.
That's probably true in general.
Yeah. It'll tell you otherwise, but that's just cause.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Larry.
I had quite a bit of chat about
really?
What a
you
surprise.
Of all people, Larry?
Whoa, this is new.
I would have never guessed.
Well, some of the stuff I want to talk about is you know, I just had some clips that I took that I believe we're going to post, but we didn't do interviews with anybody from there, and we didn't.
Yeah.
You know, so I just went on to talk about one of them was the Squad Hero game, which basically was a game that found a new use for that Guitar Hero controller that's sitting around in your basement collecting dust. Basically, it's a space game where you have three ships that are the colors of the buttons, and you have like a track system, and things are coming down on the track, and they're of a certain color, and you can only successfully destroy your own color. So you got to keep moving the tracks so that the right ship is lined up to whatever's next to shoot. And so that was a pretty neat game. And actually, I was talking to a guy. They were specifically trying to pull the Guitar Hero controller out of the garbage pile basement.
Nice.
Landfills
really
there.
Cool.
Filling
that,
with
no, that's really clever, actually.
I don't know about you guys. I don't know about you. By basement, you mean hung up on my wall.
With light shining on it.
So I can show girls how
the
cool
Ron
I am.
By
you know, that was just, if you win Guitar Hero, that you really aren't the Guitar Hero.
Rock
out. That was just propaganda. That's
yeah. Let me pull down my axe.
Another one, I do have an interview with a group that did Depression Quest, which I'm not sure it's a game per se, but basically it's like an experience, an interactive experience. They call it a game, and it's basically like experiencing life as a depressed person. So,
wow, that sounds
which
yeah, that's
me
like
doing
it.
Yeah.
It is,
wow,
it is a pretty serious game, but it sounds like they got a lot of positive response as far. Interestingly enough, see, you know, it's a
positive. So were they looking for negative responses?
Oh, I feel like killing myself. The game sucks.
And they had a fun booth. They made a little.
Wait a minute. The game is depression. It's about being a depressed person.
Yeah.
But wait, we got positive feedback, and you got a fun booth too.
I want to point out that Larry and I did. We spent about 20 minutes discussing whether or not we should cover whether or not Guys, Games, and Beer is the right vehicle to talk about this. And we were kind of like, I don't know if we're the right vehicle. And then. And we kind of left it hanging, and Larry said, Screw it, man. I'm just spitting that puppy out
you know
there.
What, though,
it's awesome.
One of the things, though, Larry was telling me a little bit about why it was important.
Well, I mean, they go into, in the interview, about kind of the development of it and their personal pains and sort of that sort of led to the development.
Oh, wait a minute. They actually,
that does
sound depressing now.
It was interesting because it was... It really stood in contrast to a lot of the other games out there, and it was just kind of different. So it was interesting to me, and it was also interesting that their booth was basically packed.
Oh wait a second! This is coming from a psych major, okay?
Yeah, but you tell them where you used to work.
Yeah, I used to work in behavioral health.
The psych ward, okay? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is why the blanket fort looked very familiar.
You were thinking about how you can make money selling it to the psych ward, is what you're saying.
Well, no, but they had actually talked about that. They've gotten interest, and they do have like therapy groups and stuff that use it and stuff now. And so it's gotten a little further than just the sort of casual gaming kind of thing.
So
but it was just kind of
therapy,
interesting, you know.
Okay.
Therapeutic.
You know,
yeah. Okay.
You know, there was a couple other games.
It's kind of like, you give the doll the little child and say, "Here, show me where Daddy touched me," right? One of those type of therapy games.
Yeah,
oh, okay,
you know,
I always call that exercise a game. It's not like this is distributed by Hasbro.
Let me ask
where Daddy touched
me. Was questioned many times about where he touched the doll.
Tell me where he touched you.
So speaking of family,
yeah.
It was really.
That was a lead-in.
So it was really interesting going on after in the building that had the tabletops and cards, I would see families go in there, spend a little time in there, and then buy a game, and then they were up on one of the available free tables, and they were there all day, their family playing games, you know. And one family I watched, I think they were there like 6 hours playing a game together.
I agree,
that
was
really
cool.
Neat.
That was really cool to see.
So there was a ton of families here, you know, and that was just really exciting to see, you know.
And the unfortunate part is we were there too, you know. We're not family friendly, and having a family play a game near us, probably not a good thing. But that being said, it was cool to see the kids playing games.
Yeah, you know, Tom's over there, "I took the biggest shit."
And the kid said, "I got a beat."
Do you have a kid turn to a meat
dude? So everybody learned a little bit.
We all learned a little bit, yeah.
So, there's a lot of different interesting games out there, you know. There was a couple that were, I think, educational. That time game was like kind of an educational game. The Children of Liberty, which we've talked about on this podcast, has risen again like a phoenix, and apparently this time it's ready to fly. So
that's like kind of a 3D 2D platformer.
Yeah, that was kind of a neat game. Of course, being in Boston, it's kind of funny because it kind of tracks the Freedom Trail, which some of us who were here, we were here yesterday, we took some time to explore Boston, and then we were on the Freedom Trail, so it was kind of like, oh, this is
I believe Larry came up to the conclusion that that it's quite obvious that Paul Revere was drunk.
Yeah. No, dude, drunk nothing. He was trying to navigate his way around Boston.
Right?
Yes.
There are a lot of points where you go, was he just going,
the wrong way? No, yeah, Google Maps.
The British are. Wait, this is an alley.
They took some liberties with it. There's like one of them that's on like a 23 degree like angle, and I'm like, he did not take his horse on a 23 degree angle.
Who did he, Sarge?
Yeah, sure. Come on. He was drifted. Or he had drift down before anybody else did.
Paul Revere was sober. His horse was
sober. Beer for my horses.
That makes me a little tougher. So, that was a lot of interesting things. There were a lot of interesting games to look at. I also looked at the Masquerade and purchased that. So that was cool. yeah, just a blast, you know.
Travis.
Travis, what you playing?
Oh, Travis.
I don't play it.
You what? Pull a crap.
No, he was actually doing some show work. I saw him working the camera and stuff. Okay, but he was.
I mean, it was really cool to see. Like, and like the people here are really all glad because they do it because they want to. Like, it's their passion. So you get to see some really interesting concepts when it comes to games. They're very kind of weird mechanics and just lots of interesting games you just never... things you haven't seen done before. So it's I'm really, really glad that people are still bringing new things to the table. And that innovation isn't dead.
So,
you know, speaking of that, there was another one that I saw that we did interview. And basically it was a game that used a projector for a circle. So you had... yeah, the like an arena that was a projector. It was a combination of technology, really. And then they also had sensors that you would strap onto your body at different places. And the object of the game was to block the person's sensor as long as you could.
While protecting your own.
Well, protecting your own. So I sort of called it the don't touch me game. So as people are trying to reach you, and you move around to... so that they can't touch you in that spot while trying to touch their spot.
It also comes with a doll.
Hover.
It comes
over
with
their
what?
Spot.
It comes with a doll.
So I
a touch me doll. What
like, come with you dolls. Know, it's like you can just see, you know, don't
nice.
Touch me, don't touch me, and then the other person goes, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you. It was actually really neat, and it looked like a lot of people were having fun with it, so.
Yeah, unfortunately, I just wanted to be touched.
Yeah, see,
touch my
sensor. Don't get close. Come on, right there, right on the sensor.
I'm losing.
Oh, get that high score.
I took a lot of video. I do have a little bit of video of this of people playing, so we'll put that up, and you'll be able to see what that is like. I believe the game is called Tag. Which kind of makes sense.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And, oh my god. They're available at propiniquity.ca.
Oh my god,
propiniquity.com. So it's actually iniquity.
You were close. Iniquity, iniquity, same difference.
It's a mistake that anybody who's a couple cups into his.
Yeah. Podcast. The good news is, again, we've actually had a chance to drink now, so this is making this podcast so much easier.
No, I'm not a genius. I just had his card sitting on my. Sitting in front of me.
That's why I sent all the cards your way.
Yeah, that was smart.
I also found out that between me and the burly Scotsman, I have the longer beard, so that was good.
Did you get to shaving then?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
You dominate.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, you know, there's a good rule for the game. If I win the game, I get to shave you.
That's like a status thing. Like,
that's
if
right.
You have a long beard... that's somebody you don't fuck with.
That's,
yeah, it's like Big Stack, Small Stack.
Yeah. You can't even challenge him without the beard, I guess.
Yeah. That's right. So once you take it, they're done.
I was demoing a card game called Beard. And the in order to start the game, or the rules to start the game, is the person with the longest beard head, you know, goes first. And, you know, he had a full beard, but it wasn't long. But we do have an interview with him and a little bit of a play demo. Of that particular game, so that should go up too.
That's on G2P video.
Yeah.
Yep. Which will be on the website.
Cool.
That doesn't actually show up in the general.
And everyone's still riding the zombie wave, the Z wave.
There's a lot of zombie
games out there. Zombie football, and you know, the zombie.
That looked kind of. There was a lot of people playing it.
That looked kind of fun. I mean, I'm just saying, there's just a lot of zombie stuff out there right now. I think they should, like...
I love zombies. I really can't get enough zombies, so I'm fine with it.
What about vampires? You into vampires?
I never did like vampires. So...
They're so foreign.
Yeah, I'm just not a real vampire person.
Those vampires don't do it for you?
No, they don't really do it for me. It's not that they're bad.
Werewolves to keep their numbers down.
A
little thinning out of a little beast.
So, Jonah...
Yeah.
Come on. Rainy day games?
Collide.
You collided with Collide?
Yes.
Bad?
Oh my
what?
God, it is good. Okay.
I like the colored suits they had.
It's like a...
You just want those cubes. You just want,
yeah.
You just want those glowing cubes.
$100 on Amazon, they told me.
Nice.
One cube, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
They were cool.
Yeah, so what you've learned about the game thus far is you need to sit on a colored cube and able to...
And then it makes it like 80 times funner. Yeah.
Yes, of course. It added to the
audience. I'm looking forward to it. Don't worry about it.
We're playing on the laptop. It was fun. So why don't you tell them about it?
Okay, so you build like this spaceship and you shoot other people with it.
Sounds
that's basically
big.
It. Yeah. Yeah, that's basically correct in a nutshell.
It's a browser-based game.
Yeah.
HTML5,
which is fantastic.
So it's absolutely universal.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It doesn't work on mobile devices yet.
It'll work on a freaking Droid, I bet.
He said
with
no.
Controllers on
he
it.
Said no. So we'd have to find out.
All right, put a keyboard on your Android. We'll have to see.
I don't know. You got to.
I
don't
work on iPad because there's no. Oh no.
You gotta test that and find out.
A mouse is a problem.
Yeah.
A mouse is gonna be a problem. I'll bet it'll execute, but you'll have some controller issues. Unless you have
well,
an Android that
let's find out. We will test that when
what?
We get back.
Like, we've ever been accurate. Like, that really.
No.
But he says it doesn't work on it, so I guess I'm
yeah, but it's the developer.
I guess it's close.
We interviewed the developer.
I know, and I said.
You specifically asked them this.
Yeah, and I did. And they said no, and I'm saying yeah, nah.
You think they're lying to you. They're lying to you. The developers have no idea what was going on. They lied to Rob.
Yeah, they just lied to me so I wouldn't play it on there. Because I'd pwn them all on my touch screen. Yeah. Now, the problem is going to be that there's no mouse.
Yeah, that could be why it doesn't work on.
So maybe we have an Android device.
No, but you can use the arrow keys.
But on your Android phone, you don't have a mouse as well. You could use the arrow keys.
Oh, you could use the arrow keys, but how do you fire them?
Well, we are really talking about...
We are really beating the crap out of this game.
Yes, we are.
No, no,
we're not beating
the
crap. The game is amazing. It's just...
Oh, space and ship can fire?
Space and control.
I see where they didn't design it yet for mobile devices.
Yeah, but he's right. I mean, if he's right and you can just use the keyboard, Android and Apple might work.
You can. I have Android devices that have keyboards, so...
I mean, you know, it's free.
Well,
ain't gonna kill you to try it.
Yeah, and that was another cool thing about the game Jordan brought up. It's a free game.
It's free.
You don't have to pay anything. It's an online game. You go to their website, which we'll eventually link to. We have a great interview with these guys. You're gonna want to listen to.
Yeah, they'll all be on there.
And they will. And
they're Gradient Studios, by the way, that makes it. That makes that game. We were really impressed with it. I like the artwork as well. It's kind of an 8-bit. Type of look, 8/16-bit.
So now that everybody else has gone around, we found out that Everclear is illegal in Massachusetts.
Who knew?
Porn, well, we're going to prison.
Yeah, porn does not stream well on the MIT Wi-Fi. So
wait, but we saw that shop.
Well, that's okay. But that was up close and personal. We won't go into that right now.
Oh,
okay. But anyhow, so I think it's time that you guys do your first contest. The first G2B contest. Everybody dig in their drawers, their closets, their basement, you know, your mom's basement. Yeah, we know you guys live in your mom's basement. But I want you to find the most obscure video game, system, game, obscure, anything to do with a video item that might be just totally unheard of, and mail it to G2B. The top three items gets to be talked about on a G2B show and gets a G2B prize package. That's just my opinion, but hey.
Well, now you kind of hosed us, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, exactly.
You just hosed us.
I'm just
now
saying.
Now we have to do it.
I'm just
if
saying.
If anybody sends
hey,
crap
wait,
in.
Wait. Don't you, wouldn't you just love them to mail you shit? That's
no,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
They will literally mail us shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, not like
here's,
a big deal.
Here's
your
bro to the next game.
Somebody is going to crap in a box. Here you go.
Somebody's going to make us a shiglu.
Well, I have been waiting for my shiglu shirt.
Exactly. So I'm just saying, you know, I think it's time for a contest.
I'll run that topic. Okay.
All right.
An excellent topic. Other honorable mentions. We talked with the guys from Disco Pixel.
Yeah.
It was a really good interview.
Loved
it.
Great interview. We still owe you
Paul.
A beer, by the way.
Yeah, we owe you a beer.
I'm
I'm pretty sure because they made him pack up early.
That's what happened. Is that he had to pack up at 6. He had to break ground and couldn't come right away.
Yeah.
He's making
a game called Jungle Rumble, which is rhythm-based games. And I know, yeah, rhythm-based games are rage, blah, blah, blah. But this is a rhythm-based RPG with monkeys in it. And I got to tell ya, you could not get people off that game.
Serious.
He was packed like the entire time he was there. We lost Jonah like 2-3 times to this game.
What?
We have a great interview with him. Oh. It will be on the interview site, so definitely give a listen to it. The guy was great, had some really cool ideas, and really talked about it.
You know what I think it does? It hypnotizes you.
I'm pretty sure that
was
the case.
I swear. Like, it's like...
Okay. Who else gets honorable mention, Rob?
Another honorable mention. There was a Starship Battle game that was really quite good. Yes. What'd you say, Patrick?
Deny the Stars.
Deny the Stars, yeah. That's an unusual thing. That's a two-player board game.
Only two players.
That makes it really interesting. No, it's not a card game. It does have cards.
Yeah, it's a board game with
cards for doing. Dude, that game has you love it because it's got cards, it's got dice, it's got little tokens, it has got.
It doesn't have dice.
Shiny
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, he's just making half this up.
No, really, I think it's got a hockey puck.
Okay, but that being a cool game, awesome. Got a good interview with him. Listen to the interview on that. Some very cool stuff. Definitely an honorable mention.
That's right. Well, we're getting ready to pack things up here. Is there anybody else that wants to throw something down? Well, I want to thank anybody who also we didn't mention tonight. And by the way, if you give us a holler, we'll certainly get you back on the show. Anybody we didn't interview that wants one, we'll certainly give you one. I want to especially thank the organizers of BFIG for having us out and asking us to come out. It's been a really great time.
Even after they were on our podcast, they still invited us.
Yeah.
Even after listening to our podcast, or being on our podcast.
And they actually listened to our podcast, unlike so many other people. They actually knew what we talked about.
Like, you know, most of the planet, it's a fair thing to say when there's billions of people on. But anyway, because, you know, billions listen to us.
That's right.
Yeah, that's, you know.
Our show reaches billions.
Mostly from China.
And I want to thank you guys for listening. It has been a great time at the BFIG.
Woo.
Go Guys Games and Beer.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah!
Email us at guysgamesandbeer@gmail.com. The G2B theme song features Larry Davis on bass and Bob Harmel on guitar. It was recorded at the RMH Studios in Wisconsin.